You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three. Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. He comes in, touches.
And across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Marcia, a.k.a. Def Jam Gundy. You may know me as the founder of NBA Injury Report on Twitter, and this is episode 294. On today's show, we're going to talk about Mike Budenholzer. He's the new frontrunner for the Knicks coaching job, in my book. Anyway, I'm going to get you up to speed on how we got here. I'm going to tell you why I think he is the choice for the Knicks. I think a bunch of guys could do a really good job. I'll say that. But of the ones who have been named, I think Budenholzer is the best so far. I'm also going to catch you up to speed on what's been going on with other names in the coaching search. Kenny Smith. Should we be freaking out that the Knicks... Should we be freaking out that the Knicks interviewed a TV guy? No. I'm going to tell you why. What's the guy's name? James Borrego, the other Spurs assistant. His name has entered the picture. We're going to talk about that too. It's going to be a good sode. I know some of you guys are waiting for draft coverage. I just got to say, we got a long time before the draft happens. We got a long time before the lottery even happens. So there's going to be plenty of detailed draft coverage breaking down the top prospects, where we can expect them to go, all that. We're also going to have year-in-review type stuff where we talk about how the players have done, how the coaches have done, how management has done. So all that good stuff coming up. But first, today, we still got a coach to find. Let's talk about it. Let's start the show. Hit it, Marv!
Yes!
Coach Budenholzer reportedly met with the Knicks on Sunday. And on Monday, it was reported by Mark Berman of the New York Post that the Knicks are Coach Bud's top choice. So if you don't know much about this situation or what's going on down there in Atlanta, you might ask yourself, you know, why would either of these sides want this? Why would Bud want this? Why would Atlanta want this? He's Atlanta's coach. He has 2 years, $12 million left on his contract. So why would they want this? Well, Atlanta is now planning a full multi-year process style rebuild. And the report is that Bud's not really down for that. Plus, Atlanta is not really down for paying all this money to a coach while they only want to suck for the next couple of years. If you're asking me if Atlanta's making the right decision, I think no. I mean, I think it seems pretty short-sighted to me to get rid of an expensive coach because are you planning? I mean, unless they're planning on sucking for the next like 5-6 years, which is possible. And then the other variable you don't know is Bud just absolutely positively against their plan no matter what? Like, is that relationship broken? It's tough to say exactly what's going on in this situation. But the word is both sides are ready to move in different directions. What is a little weird is that, you know, I just said this, Budenholzer supposedly soured on tanking. Yet he's interviewed with two tanking teams, more or less. The big difference to me is probably, when you look at two of these teams, the young talent level that's already there. So the Hawks, I mean, they've got some nice young pieces, but like Schroeder, Bazemore, they have nothing that compares to a Porzingis, or even a Devin Booker, or even a Josh Jackson, as far as potential goes, in my humble opinion. You know, so Budenholzer, he was recently given permission to interview with the Suns. He did interview with the Suns, then removed himself from consideration from the Suns after interviewing with them. It could just be that they couldn't agree on a number. It could be that their owner is rumored to be sort of a bozo and a dum-dum, a little bit of a James Dolan-style figure over there in Phoenix. What I hope is the case which would be shrewd, clever, and slick, in my humble opinion, is that Budenholzer knew all along he wanted to go to the Knicks, and he's setting them up to not have to give up a lot for him in compensation. Because if he went to the Knicks first, Atlanta can be like, hey, you're stealing our coach. If he goes to Phoenix first, then Atlanta can't say that, because New York could say, hey, I mean, we weren't even going to touch him. We know he's yours. We don't tamper like that. But then we saw that he was amenable and that you were amenable to let him leave. So once we heard that, you know, we got to do our due diligence. This is one of the great coaches in the league. We got to look into it, you know? So I hope that's the crafty framework within which all these parties are working. You don't really know, but for speculation purposes, that would be pretty neat. And now after, you know, this background of this meeting with, you know, the Suns that didn't work out and this meeting with the New York Knicks that perhaps went pretty well, Berman is reporting that New York is Budenholzer's top choice. So I want to talk about why I think Budenholzer should be the Knicks' top choice at this point. But first, a break for something a little bit more serious. If you or a loved one lived in, worked in, or visited Lower Manhattan in the months after the September 11th attacks and have been diagnosed with cancer, federal benefits and health care may be available to you. Attorney Eddie Markowitz has helped many families recover substantial benefits from the September 11th Victims Compensation Fund. The James Zadroga Health and Compensation Act, which is what allows you to collect these federal benefits and health care, it has been extended, but time is limited. Attorney Markowitz is proud to serve as counsel to the Zadroga family, and he can help you too. These benefits are not just for rescue workers, but for anyone who qualifies. The fund covers many cancers, including prostate, skin, lung, and breast cancer. Please call 1-800-LAW-HELP. That's 1-800-LAW-HELP to see if you qualify. So, if everything that's been reported is true, if Budenholzer wants to join the Knicks, he thinks they're his best option, I think that he's the guy, and I'll tell you briefly why I think that. First of all, he guided the Hawks to a 60-win regular season without a true superstar, and that kind of thing is always really impressive to me. He got this collection of players to play better than the sum of their parts. That's good coaching right there. Let me walk you through the timeline a little bit. So in 2013-14, that was his first year as the head coach of the Hawks, and they went 38-44. Their starting lineup was Jeff Teague, Kyle Korver, Damari Carroll, Paul Millsap, and Al Horford. Only Al Horford played just 29 games that year due to injury. He tore his pec in December, and he had to get season-ending surgery. They finished 38-44. The next year, that same roster with a healthy Al Horford goes 60-22. Once again, Jeff Teague, Kyle Korver, Damari Carroll, Paul Millsap, Al Horford. You know, these are all good to very good players. It's a solid starting lineup. None of them have the, you know, generational talent and potential that a Kristaps Porzingis does. You know what I'm saying? None of them are a LeBron or a Russell Westbrook or a Steph Curry or a Kevin Durant or even a Kyrie Irving or I would go so far as to say even a DeMar DeRozan. Although you're getting a little bit hazy when you get to there. But all good to very good players, to excellent players. None of them just like dominant superstars. And he guided them to 60 wins. They also had key backups, including Thabo Sefolosha and Kent Bazemore. One interesting note from the season, the starting lineup, all five of those guys, was named the NBA Player of the Month. Not just one player, all those five guys. The first time that it happened in NBA history. This isn't the end-all, be-all, but it's another piece of evidence that suggests Budenholzer is an excellent coach. People around the league recognized that they thought that those five guys played so well together as a team that they were worthy for the first time in NBA history of winning the NBA Player of the Month award. That same year, Budenholzer won NBA Coach of the Year honors. Now, after that, you know, the roster had some shakeups and he didn't reach those heights anymore. You know, but they were still good teams, and we'll talk about that a little in a little bit. I'll go deeper into that. But Carroll left after that year, Damari Carroll. Then Teague and Horford left the next year. And they were still above 500 until this season when management decided to blow things up. Understandably, they didn't have a good roster. So we talk about these guys like a Millsap and, you know, a Carroll being like excellent players. But part of that is because they were in Bud's system and were part of a system and a staff that's incredibly highly regarded for player development. Proven track record of player development, something that the Knicks really need. You guys are all familiar with the job they did over there with Tim Hardaway Jr. He left the Knicks being incredibly one-dimensional. They were able to send him down to the G League. We know the Knicks are trying to place more emphasis on their G League, so that's some more organizational, you know, what would you call that? They see eye to eye there, right, on the necessity to use that as a tool to develop legitimate NBA players. They sent him down there to have him work on his defense, to help him round out his game. There were no hard feelings about it, so they handled that well. You know, he came back up a changed player in many respects, and we saw a lot of the things that Hardaway worked on when he was in Atlanta carry over to the Knicks. I think they know how to unlock his true potential. It would be good to get Budenholzer over here to keep working with Hardaway. Damari Carroll was never as good as he was with Budenholzer. He was just some random dude, basically, who they turned into a sharp-shooting defensive nightmare, right? Schroeder, their point guard. He was a mid-round draft pick, mid-first-round draft pick, and he's coming along really nicely under them. Mike Muscala, he was a second-round draft pick who was a legit NBA contributor right now. Torian Prince, he was a mid-round, first-round pick coming along nicely as a 3-and-D wing. John Collins, the knock coming out of him, coming out of college for him was he couldn't play D, and that hasn't proven to be the case, learning under Budenholzer this year. But going back to some of those guys from the starting lineup from their 61 season. Now, Paul Millsap was good before he came to Atlanta, but they unlocked something in him that he hadn't previously shown. And he was a four-time, he was an all-star all 4 years that he was in Atlanta. They got him to shoot threes when he came to the Hawks as not a three-point shooting threat. And this is a theme that you see with Atlanta and their players. They got Millsap to shoot threes. They got Carroll to shoot threes. Dwayne Dedmon, currently on the team, shot 1-3 in his journeyman life, was basically out of the NBA, came to the Hawks, started knocking down threes. He was out of a, you know, he was hitting a blazing clip to start the season, something like 38-39%, you know, which for someone who had shot 1-3 was amazing. Now he settled in at around 35% for the season, but serviceable, right? Kent Bazemore, another big piece of their future, was an undrafted free agent, originally picked up by the Golden State Warriors, let go by the Golden State Warriors, who are also excellent at player development, and now he's a solid NBA contributor, all right? Budenholzer, he comes from the Popovich tree, and he has a sterling reputation around the league. Two more reasons why I think he'd be an excellent fit for the Knicks. Part of that Popovich tree is ball movement. His teams move the ball extremely well, and you see that in that 60-win season. When you move the ball extremely well, you don't need stars. Stars could only make you better, but you don't need like the superstar, right, in order to make the team work. So we've seen that with Budenholzer teams. Another thing that we've seen, I know Knicks fans, you like this. Perry and Mills have talked about this a lot. He's got a great defensive track record. So he moves the ball, he gets guys shooting threes, modern on offense, and a fantastic defensive track record. So last year, not this year, but last season, the Hawks were fourth in defensive efficiency. Fourth overall in defensive efficiency last season. They actually won six more games than their point differential would suggest. Their offense wasn't great last season, and that was tops in the league. So that could suggest they were lucky. Sometimes it does suggest that when you win more games than your differential would suggest, especially when you're tops in the league at that, right? But they also, it could suggest sometimes that you've got a good coach that pushes the right buttons at the right moments. It's almost impossible for anyone to say without watching, you know, a bunch of those games, but it certainly could suggest that. I'm choosing to believe that that outcome was because of some excellent coaching. The year before last year, they were second in defensive efficiency. And the year before that, in their 60-win season, the Hawks were fifth in defensive efficiency and fifth in offensive efficiency. They had the third most threes in the league that year, and they took the second fewest long mid-range jump shots. That's just like coaching porn for me. You guys know I love that. So his teams, even as he started losing players who, you know, were creators for them, were playmakers, were important offensively for them, he still kept them playing at a really high defensive clip until this past season when, you know, they had one of the worst teams in the league, obviously. But he gets it done on both sides of the court and seems to understand what's going on in 2018 and beyond. And to back that up, he's got a great reputation. I've never heard a bad thing about the guy. Everyone seems to love him. I've heard people say that not only is he a great X's and O's guy, but he's great at communicating with the players. He's just someone who is going to get the job done. And he's got no blemishes on his record. Some of these guys, I think Fizdale could do a great job. I really do. I think Stackhouse could do an amazing job. Part of me still really wants Stackhouse because I've got this obsession with like finding an NBA head coach and developing him, having him be, having like the Knicks job be his first NBA head coaching job. But Budenholzer, he's done it. He's got none of these like Gasol-style red flags, which, you know, might be unfair to Fizdale, but it's there. You know what I mean? And he doesn't have the inexperience of a Stackhouse. I just really think he's the guy for the Knicks, especially if, as is rumored, the Knicks may not have to give up serious compensation in the form of draft picks. I would say, even for as good a coach as Budenholzer is, I think other guys can do the job, so you cannot give up a first-round draft pick. You cannot. Like, best case scenario for giving up a first-round draft pick is giving up one like 5 or 6 years from now. But even the good teams, you don't want to give up first-round draft picks because even when they're late, you know, that's how you keep the pipeline going. And the fewer chances you have to snag young guys on rookie deals who can be contributors to your team, the harder it is to keep your success going. So let's say the Knicks build up a successful squad in 3-4 years and they're really seriously contending for, you know, Eastern Conference supremacy. You start losing first-round draft picks and it's harder to keep that going within the confines of the salary cap. So, you know, best case scenario for trading a first-round draft pick would be one like 6 years down the line. But I don't think they should do that because I think there are other coaches who can do it. I'd be okay with a second rounder. You know, second rounders, you don't want to just throw away for nothing. But a coach can win you games and a coach can lose you games, right? All that being said, if Atlanta just doesn't want to pay the guy, like, and that's what we've heard, how about we just pick up the last 2 years on his contract, extend him, and call it a deal? Hell, throw in a million or two extra on top of it. MSG mints money. But why give up anything if Atlanta's trying to get out from under that money? And this is something that I've noticed, which is a more subtle aspect of GMing, something that I like about what Mills and Perry are doing right now, is all the leaks that are coming out are in favor of the Knicks. We aren't hearing anything about coaching stuff that's weird. It's all been, you know, quiet. It's been very quiet. So that's good, right? About like how the interviews have gone. They're not leaking there. And what we have heard about the Bud negotiations is that, you know, we've heard that Atlanta just doesn't want to pay him and the Knicks are willing to pay his salary and why should they give up picks? So I like that the leaks are painting the Knicks in an advantageous position when it comes to negotiations. So if anything is coming out from the Knicks side, it's only things that help put the news in a positive way for the Knicks going future, and that could help their negotiations. So wherever that's coming from, it's a good story for us. I want to talk about other names that have come up in the coaching search since we guys have last talked, Kenny Smith, James Borrego. But first, just want to remind y'all that you're listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one daily sports podcast network in the entire multiverse. Let's talk about some other people who are interviewing for the Knicks job. Kenny Smith interviewed for the Knicks job, and Twitter lost its damn mind for a couple of minutes. It's fine. It's just an interview. It's just an interview. And he seems like a sharp dude, honestly. He shouldn't get the job. I mean, there's too much on the line here to give to someone who's never been a coach on any level. But he seems like a smart enough guy. I don't think it's so dumb. If he were the only additional candidate to the original list, that would be one thing. But we've also got Budenholzer, who we talked about before. And our next mystery candidate, James Borrego. He's not Ettore Messina. He's not Becky Hammon. He's not Emi Udoka. But he's the other Spurs assistant. Who is this guy? Per Woj and Bagley. Here's what they reported the other day. Borrego, 41, is considered one of the top young assistant coaches in the NBA. And his time together with Perry with the Orlando Magic has played a part in his ability to interview for the Knicks job. Borrego made a strong impression on Perry in a 30-game stint as interim head coach in the 2014-15 season for the Orlando Magic. Borrego was the runner-up to Fizdale in the Memphis Grizzlies search process 2 years ago and made a strong impression on the Houston Rockets in meetings before they hired Mike D'Antoni. Borrego has turned down college head coaching opportunities to remain on Coach Greg Popovich's staff and pursue the chance to be an NBA head coach. I like this. I like hearing about guys who are little known. Shows the Knicks aren't afraid to take a chance on an up-and-comer. I mean, I would love for them to interview Becky Hammon. I just think that would be, it would show real progress in that organization, which isn't known for their treatment of women. And I've heard some people say, well, you know, what if you interview Becky Hammon but don't give her the job? Then you'll be asked to comment, like, why couldn't she do it and blah, blah, blah. And to that I say, they don't have to respond. If they are asked why they don't hire other people, they're not going to say anything. They're going to be like, we don't comment on other, you know, teams' talents. We don't comment on other coaches. They're not going to say anything bad about anyone, so it's fine. Maybe some doofus tries to make a big deal out of it. Oh, you interviewed her, but you wouldn't hire her. And the Knicks are like, they just talk about why they like who they hired. And then the only thing that's remembered is that they were the first team to interview a woman for the head coaching position. So that's my piece there. Let's wrap up with some coaching odds and ends. The Knicks are flying to Turkey to interview David Blatt because he's coaching right now and can't get time away from his team. They will then turn that into a scouting trip, and they will focus on some international players, including Luka Doncic. And that's just good front office efficiency right there. I like that. Could you imagine Phil Jackson doing that? He'd go interview Blatt, maybe. Then he'd spend like a week taking pictures of the Hagia Sophia and like eating kebabs and tweeting about home being where you rest your head and other cryptic cones. So, I'm just glad Phil Jackson's gone. Reportedly, last bit of news, Fizdale and Stackhouse made strong cases for themselves during their interviews. That comes from Woj and Bagley. There was no mention of Mark Jackson. Yeehaw! I'm sorry if some of y'all thought I hated too hard. I'm full of love. You know this. I'm full of optimism, but I'm a human being, and I've got some hate in there, too, and some bile, and every once in a while, I just gotta exercise it from my system. So if you're one of those people who loves Mark Jackson, if you're one of those people who doesn't like when I go negative, my apologies, but going forward, you know, we're gonna keep it positive. Not exclusively. I'm not gonna bury my head in the sand, but, you know, we're not gonna have two podcasts in a row bashing someone. I regret nothing. But I just want you to know where I'm coming from, all right? That's it for us for today. Thank you guys very much for listening to the show. If you got a moment, rate us on iTunes. Subscribe if you haven't already. Tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks or NBA Injury Report. Be chill to each other. Spay and neuter your pets. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. And always salt pasta water. Tune in tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Knicks. Peace.